The cell was 5 feet by 9 feet and stifling hot. It contained a bucket, a pile of dirty straw, and Bridie. And it smelled of the bucket. Up near the ceiling was a small barred window. Bridie jumped up, managed to grab the bars, and walked herself up the wall. She had to turn her head sideways to peer out. Through the small slit she could see the fields and the woods, and just a corner of the graveyard. She looked away quickly. She could see the other poorhouse children out in the cabbage field weeding. A couple of the best trusted boys were using hoes, but the rest of the children were down on their knees, pulling up weeds with work-roughened hands. The children were nearly all younger than Bridie, who was 11. Boys and girls her age were usually indentured soon after they came in, especially if they came in with their parents. Parents who had ended up in the poorhouse were not considered suitable company for their own children. But Bridie had been allowed to stay while her mother's illness lasted. And now that that was over with, well, Bridie was trouble. She asked questions. She pointed out the problems with things. She had opinions about the way things ought to be. She spoke when not spoken to. And so, here she was, locked up again on bread and water. Beyond the field, she could see the woods, where the boys and men cut wood for the fires and for the poorhouse keeper, Mr. Fitch, to sell. The poorhouse was out in the middle of nowhere, far from the bustling towns of the Finger Lakes, because the poorhouse housed the people nobody wanted to have to see. Not just poor people, but folks who had turned out simple-minded, or been injured badly at work, or had just gotten too old to work, or had become a bit peculiar. Bridie heard iron-tired wheels out on the road, and the clop of a horse's hooves. She cricked her head around, trying to see if it was a buggy or a wagon. Then the sound of its wheels was drowned out by howling. Old Mad Janet had gone off again. Ha! They'd be sorry now that they'd locked Bridie up. She was just about the only person who could manage Mad Janet. Then Bridie had another thought. There were only 4 cells in the poorhouse, only 2 for women and girls. If they locked Mad Janet up, they might have to let Bridie out. They weren't supposed to keep you in the cell on bread and water for more than 2 days. That was in the rules. But they did. Bridie thought she had been here for longer, boiling all day and freezing in the cold upstate New York summer nights. She had kept time by the gong that awakened the inmates at dawn, and the gongs that called them to their silent meals, and the gong that called them to Sunday prayers, and the gong that sent them to bed. At least 3 days, maybe 4.
"Rubbish bums," yelled Mad Janet. "Take the mouse war. They were old and fine, and my people were kings, you know, kings, while yours were slippery dockets and all the whales."
Bridie let go of the bars and dropped, her feet hitting the wooden floor with a thump. Mad Janet kept going.
"Kings!"
Crash. Something hit the wall. Maybe a wooden bench. If Janet was throwing things, that could be Bridie's ticket out of here. There was the sound of a scuffle. Mad Janet yelled and cursed. Bridie braced herself to run out the second the door opened, if it did. Mad Janet let out a low-pitched, keening howl. It came closer as they dragged her up the stairs. Now, which cell would they open? Bridie held her breath and hoped. The door swung open. Mr. Fitch and his son wrestled Mad Janet into the room. Mad Janet looked at Bridie for a moment with perfect clarity.
"I spotted the turnkeys, matey," she said. "It's bows and anchors to yours, and mink jelly on Thursdays."
"Thank you," Bridie whispered, and darted out. She ran across the women's ward and down the stairs, eager to be outside at last in the clean air. But Mrs. Fitch stood at the bottom of the stairs, blocking her way.
"Where do you think you're going?"
"Out to the cabbage field, to work," said Bridie. "Mr. Fitch told me."
"No, he didn't. In here." She grabbed Bridie by the collar and marched her into the office.